Well, we've come a long way in our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians. How many of you have been impacted? How many of you have been challenged, encouraged in some way as we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians together? I have been. I've been blown away. I've just, you know, every time we go to God's Word, the Holy Spirit is able to take that same Word and just do something else with it in our lives. Whether it's awaken a new truth, a new understanding, a new application. I mean, He takes that Word. It's alive. It's active. I mean, it moves us as we are in it. And it's been doing that as we've even been going through it again as a church family. Today we're going to launch into chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And the Apostle Paul opens this chapter with these words. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." Now, we've just covered a segment of Paul's letter that focused primarily on Christian liberty or freedom in Christ. That's been a huge focus of the first part of this entire letter. And so it's been kind of the foundation. It's been how Paul has been instructing the church and encouraging them and even commending them, saying, yeah, you're getting this Christian liberty thing, the new covenant in Christ Jesus. This is awesome. Keep doing it. But let me give you a little bit of insight on how to do it in an orderly way that's going to be uplifting and respectful of others. So we've gone through this part of this letter with really that as a foundational aspect of it, the Christian liberty and freedom in Christ aspect. But now in these next three chapters, we're moving into a primary topic of spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are these gifts? Why are they important? How should they be viewed? How should they be used today by the church? These are just some of the questions that I know that God's Word is going to answer for us over the next few weeks as we are just enjoying a study of the spiritual gifts here from 1 Corinthians. I'm excited. I'm excited that we're going to have this discussion as a church family. It's important. As we study this together, I know it's going to bring unity in the body of Christ. I just know it will, because God's Word does that. When we come together in truth in His Word, it brings unity, it brings encouragement, and it brings life into a fellowship that's willing to go to God's Word and embrace it. So we ready? Ready to learn it? Ready to live it? 1 Corinthians 12, let's begin with verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Other translations say, "I do not want you to be ignorant." Nobody here wants to be ignorant. And so we will continue reading and study. You know, unfortunately, here's what happens, though. This particular passage of Scripture, even these three, well, everyone likes chapter 13, you know, the love chapter, but this whole talk of spiritual gifts is often neglected in the church because people see it as, oh, it can be divisive. Some people, you know, believe this about the spiritual gifts, others believe that. And so it's best if we just kind of tiptoe around it just a little bit. Let's just kind of go around chapter 12. Jump into chapter 13. Yeah, come on. Although it's all about spiritual gifts too. And then tiptoe around chapter 14, because that's the really scary one. And then we're back in it. Come on, let's go. Well, let's not be uninformed. Paul's saying, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you, he's really saying this, I don't want you to miss anything that God has for you. There's so much. Don't miss it. And so we're going to go for it. We're going to study it, because it's good and it will bring life to us as the body of Christ. Verse 2, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." I mean, look at this. When we become born again, when Christ becomes our Lord and Savior, and we're surrendered to Him, and we've been justified and transformed, and the whole conversion has happened, and now we have a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, and we're the Lord's now. When that happens, our cry becomes, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And it becomes something that we have to say, because we're new people now. I mean, He is our Lord. And so we begin crying, Jesus is Lord. And it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can truly say it from the heart. And it's only through an indwelling and an empowering and a living in and through the Spirit that we can actually live out this reality in our lives that Jesus is truly Lord of our lives. No one can say it, no one can live it, except by the grace and the power of God. Except by the Spirit. Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. The title of today's sermon is, You Are Gifted. You are gifted. We're going to launch into this, talking about the gifts. Before we do, I want us to have a quick discussion about distinguishing between the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because they are different things. And sometimes people mash them all together. And I want to just make sure that we just talk about them. We distinguish between those two before we then launch into the full discussion on the gifts of the Spirit. So let's begin with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, the Holy Spirit is the power of conversion on a person. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings Jesus into our lives. Without the Holy Spirit even preparing us and moving on us and working in our lives, we can't even say yes to Jesus. So you see, the Holy Spirit is there in the beginning, softening our hearts. You know, we pray that. I pray for my loved ones who don't know Christ. I say, Lord, soften their hearts. Lord, draw them to Jesus. We pray that prayer, don't we? We pray for the lost. And what are we doing? We're asking God to come and to move on somebody and to soften them and to get them in a position to where they can even say yes to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so the Holy Spirit is part of that process. And He's moving and He's working on people's hearts. But then we're born again. We have soft hearts. We say yes to Jesus. We do need to respond. We do need to move in our free will and respond to what God has done in us and prepared us for and say yes to Jesus. And so we say yes to Jesus, and He's our Lord and Savior. We become born again. And then the Holy Spirit comes in us. We've talked about how God's Word very clearly says that the Holy Spirit comes and He becomes a deposit, first of all, in us. It also says that we become the temple, the dwelling place, the temple of the Holy Spirit when we are born again. And then the evidence that He has come and He's living or He's indwelling in us is a changed life. We're born again. God Himself, the Holy Spirit, comes, makes His dwelling place in us, and everything starts to change. And the result of that change is fruit. It's evidence that God is in us, that He's dwelling in us. And some of that fruit, Paul talks about, and he talked about it when he wrote to the Galatians. It's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence that the Holy Spirit is indwelling, He's in you, He's dwelling in you, the evidence of that is love, is joy, is peace, is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says that these things, against these things, there's no law, man. There's nothing that says you can't have these. In fact, this is the evidence, this is the fruit, this is the result of you being born again and of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. within you. It's also called sanctification. As God is doing His work in our lives, the old is passing away, the new is coming. Anxiety's falling, and peace and patience are taking their place. Anger begins to dissolve off of our lives, and we have gentleness and goodness and self-control. The result of God Himself, the Holy Spirit, living, indwelling within us. We're different. It shows we bear fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But then we see in Scripture that there's something else. There's the fruit of the Spirit, and then there's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are truly the release of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it results in fruit. And then the release of the Holy Spirit results or shows itself in the display and in the use of gifts that the Word of God talks about. The Holy Spirit is released in a believer's life in order to empower us to fulfill the Great Commission, to build up the church, and ultimately to glorify God, to be who He's called us to be, and to truly bring glory to God. It is interesting, Jesus in Acts 1, Jesus is saying in Acts 1:8, He says, "But you will receive power when? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you," right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit, when God comes upon you. And you will do what? When you have been filled with this power, when you've been filled with the Holy Spirit power, you will do what? You will become my witnesses. You will become evangelists. You will become people who say, "Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You need to know Him. Jesus is Lord." You will become my evangelists, my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will become my witnesses. So the Holy Spirit comes upon us. He is released into us. And the result is we become witnesses. The result is gifts. The result is action. The result is change. The result is incredible. The result is the New Testament church that's alive and active and glorifying God. That's the result. These gifts will build up the body. One, because we're going to be witnesses. We're going to be filled with power. We're going to be walking in these gifts that we're going to be talking about. And it's going to build up the church because God's going to add to our number daily those being saved as we're walking this way with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the release of the Holy Spirit in us and through us as we're demonstrating and displaying His fruit and as we're demonstrating and displaying and walking in His gifts. We will find that the Lord will add to our number daily those being saved, and He will also build up the body of Christ and encourage us. And we're going to talk about that more as we continue in our Scripture here. I want us to continue by allowing this passage of Scripture to answer four questions. The four questions are, number one, who has given us these gifts that we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks? Who's given us these gifts? Question number two that's going to be answered by Scripture is, who has He given these gifts to? Question three, why have we been given these gifts? And finally, what are these gifts? Ready for this? These are good questions, and God's Word has the answer. Let's go. And question number one, who has given us these spiritual gifts? Where'd they come from? Verses 4, 5, and 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Who has given us these gifts? God. God has given us these spiritual gifts. Okay, so right there, let me just stop. If God has given you a gift, is it a good thing? Is it going to be a good gift? Is it going to be something that's going to bless you? Is it going to be something that you're going to want? that you're going to want to open up and to use and to be proud of and to be excited about. Yes, this is a gift. These are gifts from who? From God. Not from some religious organization, not from some book, from some person, from the government or anything like that. These are gifts. These are spiritual gifts given from God. So right there, we just got to stop and we got to say, okay, these are good. These are going to be really good. I mean, how many of you have gotten a good gift in your life? Like, you know, an iPad or a car or something crazy, something like you're like, really, wow, a good gift. Okay, that's great, but that's peanuts compared to what we're talking about here. These gifts we're talking about, these are God-sized, big-time, eternal, impact the whole world for all eternity kinds of gifts. Blow your mind kind of gifts. Who has given us these gifts? God has given us these gifts. In fact, in verse 11, it clarifies that these gifts are from the Holy Spirit, who's a member, of course, of the Trinity, the Godhead. These are from the Holy Spirit. And He gives these gifts to each believer as He wills. So, let me just back up here. The gifts are good. And now we know that God, the Holy Spirit, gives them to each one of us as He wills. So we know that if He's going to give us these gifts, He's going to do it just perfectly, just right, just at the right time. It's going to be just perfect. We can trust what God is doing here with the spiritual gifts. We don't need to be afraid of it. We don't need to be all weirded out to the point we want to just ignore it and go, la, 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 let me just get on with my life. That would be crazy, right? We would never do that. Kids, if your parents had told you they had the most amazing gift that they were going to give you this year for your birthday, I mean, off the charts, way better, 100 times better than anything they've ever given you before in your life, would you just want to go, la, 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 I don't want to hear about it, I don't want to see it, I want to ignore it? No, you know, you wouldn't, would you? You'd be like, bring it on! And I'll take half a dozen of those, whatever it is. Just bring it on. Let's have that attitude. I mean, this is our Heavenly Father we're talking about. This is God who's got good gifts for us. Let's have that attitude of, oh God, bring them on. Bring them on. So the source of the gift is God. The source of the administration of these gifts is God. And the source of the energy to use these gifts comes from God. And so again, God's got it covered, and it's all good. So let's embrace it. Because these gifts are from God, we also got to remember this. We should never boast about the gifts that He's given us, because they're from God. We must never envy one another, as each one of us is walking in the different gifts that He's apportioned to us. And we must never compete with one another, because these gifts are from God. We got to use these gifts to bless one another, to build one another up, and ultimately to glorify God and just bring Him pleasure in it. I'm getting ahead a little bit. Let's move on. Let's go to question number two. So number one, who's given us these gifts? Everybody? God has given us these gifts. Question number two is, who has been given these gifts? Who has God given these gifts to? Verse 6 states this, that God empowers these gifts in every believer. It says everyone. These gifts have been given. All of these gifts have been given, it says, to everyone. So these gifts have been given to every single believer. Are you a believer? Have you been born again? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Are you in Christ Jesus? Yes? Yes, 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 yes. I got a whole room full of nodding heads. Yes, yes, yes. Then guess what? You are gifted. That's what God's word says. You are gifted. Everyone who's in Christ Jesus, every believer, these gifts have been given for every believer. They're not reserved for a special class of Christian who's gone through some special class and who said some kind of special this or that, or hopped on one leg long enough saying a certain prayer and, you know, did the backflip and all that. That's a different class. We do all that stuff in a different class. But these gifts aren't reserved for some special class of believer. They just aren't. There's only one kind of believer anyway, right? You're either follower of Christ or you're not. You're either following Christ or you're following something else. So there's only one class of believer. You can just say that you're either in or you're out or whatever. There's only one class of believer. But because there's a lack of teaching about these gifts, and because people have neglected discussing these gifts and have ignored this very important teaching, the gifts have gone neglected. And people have continued to walk in ignorance. And many of these gifts have gone unopened in people's lives. I want to show this short video. Amen, right? Saw all those people driving around, sitting around with these amazing looking gifts with these great bows on them, and they're just sitting there and they're not opening their gifts. I love it that they have a child opening the gift. It just reminds me, it's the faith of a child. It's the faith of a child. We've got to have that faith of a child and trust God as our heavenly daddy, and we need to open the gifts that he has for us, for all of us as believers. The Apostle Paul is reminding the church in Corinth, and he's reminding us today, because God's word doesn't expire. He's reminding us that God empowers these gifts, all of them and everyone, as he wills. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So I want to encourage us this morning as the church today, reading God's word, that we don't leave the gifts that God's given us unopened any longer, but that we have that faith of a child and we go after it and we open up these gifts because they're good. They're given to us to glorify God. They're given to us to build up the body of Christ. We can't leave them unopened any longer. Question number three. Why have we been given these gifts? So we know this. Question number one was answered, and God's given the gifts. Question number two, he's given them to all believers. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are gifted. Number three, why have we been given these gifts? Verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Make sense? We've been given these gifts for the common good. They've been given to every Christian for the purpose of ministering to another. They've been given to believers for building up, for benefiting the whole body of Christ. How many of you know that there's some gifts that we give to one another that benefit more than just that person when we give them to them? For instance, when I give my wife a new vacuum, it doesn't just benefit her because she has a new vacuum that works better, although she does appreciate a new vacuum when she gets it, right? Right, women, you appreciate a new vacuum when the old one is really heavy and doesn't really work and doesn't do the job. You like a new one. And so, but it doesn't just benefit my wife. It benefits the whole family when she gets a new vacuum. Although, by God's grace, you don't vacuum anymore. It's awesome. If a man gets a new lawnmower, it benefits the whole family, doesn't it? But not only the whole family, it benefits the whole neighborhood when he actually goes out and uses it, right? Tightens the whole yard up, makes it look nice. I know what you're saying. It's time to mow, by the way, boys. I think of this. Put the picture up here on the screen. We got this for Velvet a few years back. It's a Fry Daddy. It's called a Cool Daddy, actually. But it's a deep fat fryer. Because, you know, French fries in the oven are okay. But when you throw them in a deep fat fryer, good. They go to a whole nother level. And so we thought, you know what? Mom needs one of these. And so we're going to get her one of these for Christmas, knowing that it wouldn't just bless her. Well, actually, it would primarily bless all of us, right? And so there are some gifts. There are some gifts that are given that don't just benefit only the person that they're given to, but they benefit others. And that's what God's Word is telling us about these spiritual gifts. They're given to us individually and to us corporately. They're given to us not just to benefit or bless us individually, although they do benefit and bless us individually, but they're ultimately given to the body of Christ and to us individually as believers so that the whole body of Christ will be blessed. They're given for the common good of the church. And so we need to remember that when we sit there and we go, oh, I don't know if I really want that gift, because, you know, the gift of tongues is kind of a crazy one. And people will think, you know, what's wrong with that guy? And I don't know if I really want that gift, God, so please don't give me that gift. Okay, now our flesh is what's crying out and saying that. That's our flesh, because we're afraid to be embarrassed or we're afraid what's going to happen. But we got to realize that God's good. He gives good gifts. These are from God, and He gives them as He sees fit, and He's going to give them to us for a purpose, and that purpose is for the building up of the whole body of Christ. And so if I don't receive a gift from Him, if my wife wouldn't have opened up that Fry Daddy, the whole family would have missed out. We all would have missed out on deep fat fried French fries. It would have been horrible. But think about it. That's just a French fry. We're talking about God coming and showing Himself and coming upon people and transforming lives and God being glorified and the kingdom of God coming. We're talking a whole nother level here with spiritual gifts. This is cool, big, important stuff. We got to let our flesh get out of the way here. We got to also realize, and I hope what you're seeing here, it's in the passage of Scripture and just even the way that we're looking at it this morning. It's not some, you know, mystical, crazy thing that is, ooh-ah, we got to get all weird about it. We don't got to get weird about it. This is just God moving in His church. It's good. It's good. But still, sadly, some find themselves using these gifts that are given for what? The common good. Sadly, some people take these gifts and they start using them for selfish reasons, for themselves, for prideful purposes. For instance, somebody can take the gift of healing, which we're going to mention here in just a little bit. They take the gift of healing and they turn it into some kind of multi-million dollar healing ministry where the quote-unquote healer is living in a mansion, flying around in private jets, and it's his name that's all over the television and all over the billboards and everything. And that gift that God has given them for the common good, for building up the body of Christ and for exalting the Lord, can get twisted and can get out of order. Yet it's interesting, isn't it, that even in that, sometimes the Lord still apportions that gift to that individual as they're needing to process it properly and maybe to be sanctified in that. God's interesting. He does it His way. And this is where we can start stepping in and say, well, that shouldn't be right, and that shouldn't be right, and we start wanting to be God and how it's apportioned and all that. We got to be careful about that. We got to be very careful about that. But these are gifts that God gives us. These aren't rewards. They're called spiritual gifts. These aren't rewards. There are rewards that God gives believers. But these that we're talking about today and for the next several weeks are spiritual gifts that He's given us. They're not get-rich-quick tools and schemes. They're not badges of honor that we wear. I'm the guy in the church that prays loudly in tongues and I'm all that. Or I'm the guy that touches somebody and immediate healing happens. Praise God, we need that in the church. God has that. But they're not badges of honor for us to wear and to create classes of Christians and classes of people in God's family. They're not for that. These gifts are given to the body of Christ by God for the common good, for the building up, for the bringing together, for the encouragement of the whole church. Amen? It's good stuff. Question number four. Finally, we're getting to what are these gifts? What are these gifts? Verses 8 through 10. Let's just be reminded of this. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Interestingly enough, this particular list is just one of six places in Scripture, one of six lists that really outline spiritual gifts. You can find them in six different places. I'm going to rattle it off for those of you who like to take notes and then go check it out later and read about it. You find them in, of course, our passage this morning, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. Also in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. You find another list in Ephesians 4, 11. Another one in Romans 12, 6 through 8. Another one in 1 Corinthians 7, 7. And also in 1 Peter 4, 11. Six places that outline and talk about different spiritual gifts. And what's interesting is that none of these lists are exactly the same. Oh no, is God's word all messed up? Is God's word confused? No, that's not the point at all. Is that, and also, no one gift is found in all six lists, in all six mentions of the spiritual gifts. Paul isn't trying to give an exhaustive list of the spiritual gifts, of how the Holy Spirit can move and what he will do and how he will use particular people in the body of Christ. This is not an exhaustive list. This is one example or one set of those spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has for the body of Christ. We're going to talk about these nine, though, that are mentioned here this morning. Let's go through them rather quickly. I broke them into three sections. The first section is called the revelation gifts. These are the gifts that are used to reveal something. And the first revelation gift that we're just going to give a quick explanation, very, very brief explanation of each one of these. The first one is the word of wisdom. It's the ability to apply biblical principles in practical ways into specific situations. It's basically that gift that God gives an individual in the church to give true godly wisdom. And that definitely benefits the body of Christ. I know there are many people in here who have been blessed by others in this church family who have been given the gift of wisdom and are speaking in to your life as you're going through life and dealing with life and godly wisdom coming through the body of Christ and helping you walk through different things in life. The second gift, the second revelation gift, is the word of knowledge. There are two different ways that people look at this word of knowledge and how it's used and what it really is. One is that it's the ability to discover, to analyze, to organize truth that will benefit others. In other words, it's somebody who can really get into God's word, understand doctrine and how it all fits together. Others look at a word of knowledge more as a kind of like more of a supernatural perception or the ability to hear something from the Lord. The Lord gives a specific word, a specific piece of knowledge about maybe an individual or a group of people. For instance, maybe the Lord will give somebody a word that says, hey, your second son, your 14-year-old son, the Lord is just telling me that there's something that's going on in his life right now regarding some of his friends, and that he is saying that you need to talk to your son like today. It's a very critical season of his life right now, and he needs his dad right now speaking into his life. And the Lord has just shown me that and told me that and asked me to share that word of knowledge with you. I think of another example. I think of a real-life example that happened here last year as Luke Anderson had a word of knowledge from the Lord, and he came up during our prophetic time, and the Lord had told him that there's somebody in the church service today that has an issue with a shoulder or an elbow or something along those lines, and that God has healing for somebody today in that area of their body. And people responded, and somebody was healed immediately. Do you see what happened right there? Do you see how the gifts of the Holy Spirit were at work, how the Lord gave somebody in the church family a word of knowledge and understanding that there was healing that God wanted to do in somebody's life right then and there. How somebody then stepped out in faith and responded to that. And then how God brought healing upon that person right then and there. When we embrace these gifts that have been given to us, the body of Christ, by God, by the Holy Spirit, good things happen. It builds up the body of Christ and it glorifies the Lord. God was so glorified in that. He was so pleased in that. The third revelation gift is distinguishing or discerning of spirit. Now, that's the ability to clearly discern the spirit of truth against the spirit of error. In other words, it's being able to distinguish between the real deal and the counterfeit. Who is truly speaking the word of God? Is this truly from the Lord, or is this just from, you know, bad pizza or some other place? Discerning truth and where it's coming from, discerning the spirits. And it's even as some of the things were mentioned this morning. Kathleen was even talking a lot about that. You're going through life and something's just not right. You know, what is this? God, let me know, what is this? Where is this message coming from? Where is this word? Where is this thought that I keep having? Where is it coming from? Is it from you or is it not from you? And the Holy Spirit can give you that gift even of discernment at that time. Or he can use somebody else in the body of Christ with that gift at that moment to speak into your life to know where that thought's coming from. Let's go into the next set of gifts. We're going to call them the power gifts. In other words, gifts that do something. Not that the other ones don't do something. They all do something. But gifts that do something, the power gifts. First one we're going to talk about is faith. I've heard faith, the gift of faith, defined this way, because we all have faith. We have to have faith. We've been given a portion of the gift of faith in order to even say yes to God, in order to follow Christ, to walk by faith. But there is a special spiritual gift, a gifting of faith. And I've heard it defined this way, extraordinary confidence in God's promises, his power and presence, so that a believer can take heroic stands for the future of God's work in the church. I mean, there are times when God will come upon somebody in the body of Christ and give them such confidence and such faith that they can encourage the rest of the body to move forward, to press forward into the things of God. It's time to go in the promised land. We can take it. We can do it. Joshua and Caleb, they had the gift of faith. They had a supernatural gift of faith to look the giants, to look the massive armies, and to see those, and to see that God is bigger, and to know that God is bigger, and to be able to tell a whole nation, we can do this. We can take the land. And God will give people the gift of faith in the body of Christ for that purpose, to move the whole body forward into the things that God has for a church, for a congregation of believers. We need that gift of faith active in the body of Christ. Otherwise, we just become sedentary and we just take the path of least resistance as the body of Christ. And what happens? The kingdom of this world prevails and we don't go anywhere. The gift of faith, important. The gifts of the Spirit are important. I mean, I'm just thinking of it right now. I look at the condition of the church. I look at how the kingdom of this world has just been crushing this nation and how the church has been sitting back and just allowing it to happen and really taking the path of least resistance. I'm talking about the global church or the church of this nation, not in every individual, not every single congregation of believers, but I'm talking just in general. This is what's been going on in our nation. And the church has been just taking the path of least resistance. The church needs to embrace the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If we, as the body of Christ, just throw out the gifts of the Spirit because we don't like a couple of them, because they're kind of scary and ooh-ah, mysterious and all that, and might be embarrassing. So we're going to throw out the whole gifts. We're going to say, you know what, they've ceased to exist. They're not for today. You know what, we're throwing out also the gift of faith. And so we're not going to have the Joshuas and the Calebs that are going to be rising up because we've said, Holy Spirit, no, not in our congregation. We don't want those gifts. Please don't bring them around here. And so we'll have a church that is just stagnant, is afraid, and is just trying to get along under the radar so that we don't get hurt and so that we can try to stay comfortable. But that's not what God has for the church. And so he has given us the gifts. One of those is the gift of faith so that we'll rise up as a body of Christ. The other power gift that we want to talk about is the gift of healing. That's that miraculous ability that God will bring upon even an individual. And this will offend some people's minds. What do you mean somebody can have the gift of faith and they can go up to somebody and just say a word and touch them and that person's healed? Praise God that he will do that. Praise God that he'll give people and apportion that gift as he wills in people's lives so that we can see healing come in those supernatural ways. Praise God for that gift. Let's not be offended that somebody's been given that gift and that they can go up and touch somebody and boom, healing will happen in their lives. Let's not be afraid of it. Let's not be offended by it. Let's not try to compete with that person. Let's embrace it and say, this is good, God. This is for the common good of the church and the building up of the body of Christ. And you are exalted when this gift is exercised. And let me add, in a humble way. The third power gift is the gift of miracles. Being able to perform signs and wonders that give authenticity. Listen, signs and wonders that give authenticity to God's word and the gospel message. Look at Jesus. He did all kinds of signs and wonders. Why? So that everybody would go, ooh, look at that fancy guy. Wow, check him out. No, he did it to glorify God. He did it for the reason of the gospel. He did it to draw people to everlasting life, to salvation. He did it for a purpose, not just to create a bunch of wow, whiz-bang, and make it all about him. It wasn't about that. You can go to Vegas, and there's all kinds of people in Vegas trying to do fancy things in order to get famous and rich and all that. That's not what the gift of miracles is about. It's a gift that's given to us that when we exercise it, that we are authenticating God's word. We are showing it to be true and real. We are showing that he is alive and active the same today as he was yesterday. That we are doing the things that Jesus said that we would do and even greater things that he would say the body of Christ would do. We're walking in miracles. Read Matthew 10:10 and see what he said when he sent out the disciples two by two and the kinds of miracles and things that they would do. Read the end of the Gospel of Mark and the kind of miracles that the body of Christ is going to be walking in. Why? To authenticate Scripture and to glorify God and to draw men unto Jesus Christ, their Savior. Inspiration gifts. We got three of them. And we're going to go into these in much more detail when we hit chapter 14. So I'm not even going to define them. I'm just going to mention there are three inspiration gifts. These are gifts that say something. There's a gift of prophecy. That's a gift that's used here in this fellowship quite frequently, and I thank God for it. The gift of tongues. Almost did it. Almost just started going off right then and there. And the gift of interpretation of tongues. We're going to talk about those three gifts in much more detail when we hit chapter 14. Important thing to talk about. These inspiration gifts are the gifts that just frankly scare the church, so much of the church. And it's ridiculous. It's crazy. These are good gifts. And they build up the body of Christ. And we've got to learn more about them. We've got to embrace them. We've got to learn it and we've got to live it. And the body of Christ will be built up and God will be glorified. As I conclude, I want to finish by saying this again. This is so important that everybody gets this. You are gifted. You are. There are people in this room right now that have thought otherwise and thought, well, that's just for other believers, those kinds of believers. Woo! Woo! Yeah, I went to a Baptist church. It was a Spirit-filled Baptist church in Waco, Texas, when I was at Baylor University. It's called Highland Baptist Church, Spirit-filled church. Everyone on campus kind of in a funny way called it High Hands Baptist Church instead of Highland. Woo, those people, right? And so everyone thinks, oh, those spiritual gifts, they're just for woo, those people, those kinds of believers, right? No. Are you a believer? Then you are gifted. You are gifted. And God apportions the gifts as he wills. Do we trust God that he's going to give us the right gift at the right time? Do we trust him? It's going to be good because God's doing it. The Holy Spirit has given every believer spiritual gifts, and he desires that every one of us would graciously receive these gifts and that we would not leave them unopened. Why? Why can't we leave them unopened? Why do we have to? Why are we compelled to open these gifts and use them? Because the whole church is benefited when we do. It's not just about you. It's not about your comfort. It's about what God is doing and how he wants to use you. You who say that you've taken up your cross to follow him, that you've laid down your life in order to glorify him. You who say that you are a follower of Christ, going after him, willing to do whatever he calls you to do. Why not open a gift that he's given you? Why not use it? For God has a purpose for it. We can't despise these gifts. We can't ignore them. We can't be ignorant of them any longer. Rather, we've got to embrace them, desire them, open them up, and use them. I want to use this quick analogy before we close. How many of you got a bike when you were a little kid? You know, your parents gave you a bike. Okay. That was a pretty big gift. That was a pretty exciting day when you got your first bike. Maybe it was Christmas. Maybe it was a birthday. I don't know when it was. But you got your first bike. It was like, wow, finally, I've got a bike. That means I'm like growing up. Cool. I get to ride my bike like the other kids ride their bike. But here's the issue. You didn't know how to ride a bike yet. Okay? You've never been on a bike before. Yet, you've got this amazing gift that your parents are giving you with joy and with smiles and with excitement. They're giving you this gift. What do? Do you run away and say, I don't want it? I bet you most of you who got a bike when you were a kid didn't start crying and running away and saying, take it away, I don't want it. No, what happened? Your parents encouraged you. They gave you this great gift. They encouraged you. They helped you get up on that bike. And even though you didn't know how to ride it, you got up on it and you started trying. And your parents were holding that seat. You know, they were holding the back, running behind you, trying to help you. Then they would let go. And what would happen? You'd ride for a little while and, whoa, bam, you'd fall. It might hurt. You might even be embarrassed for just a moment because your older brothers, you know, and sister are watching or something like that. Oh, no, what are they thinking about me? I just fell. I can't ride a bike. What did you do? Did you give up? No, you got back on the bike. And your parents were cheering you on. And they were helping you. And they were running beside you. And they were, you know, maybe you fell again. Maybe you didn't, but you kept getting on. And what did you end up doing? You ended up learning how to ride a bike. And enjoying it. And having fun. And your parents loved it. And they were pleased because they gave you this gift. They sacrificed. And they gave you this gift with joy. And now you're using it. And they have pleasure in the fact that you're using and enjoying the gift that they have given you. Look, these gifts have been given to us by God. And he is longing for us to open them up and to get on that bike, that spiritual bike, and start riding it. And yeah, in the beginning, it might feel awkward. In the beginning, we might feel like we're going to fall, and we might fall. We might step out in the gift that we really believe the Lord has given us and just totally fall. But you know what? Your brothers and your sisters aren't going to make fun of you. They're not going to laugh at you. Your parents aren't going to scold you. But God's just going to help you get back up and get back on that bike, get back on that spiritual gift and continue to use it. And God will be glorified and he will be pleased and find pleasure in the fact that you've embraced the gift he's given you and you're using it. God has good gifts for us. Let's open them up. I want to leave us with this encouragement found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. God's word says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Don't just open them because you have to, or use them because you have to, or put up with other people in the church using them because, well, I guess I have to. No, earnestly desire them. And if that's not where your heart is right now, go to God with it. Ask him to heal your heart from whatever it is. Ask him to work on your heart. Ask him, why is it that you're not excited about these gifts that he has for you? Go to the Lord on it. He'll do the work. The Holy Spirit will do that heart work in you. But let's earnestly desire these spiritual gifts, because church, you are gifted. You are gifted. And I am so excited when I see God's people, this church, using the gifts that the Lord has given each one of you. It builds up the body of Christ. It's a good thing. It's beautiful. And another reason I get so excited when I see you and listen to you and watch you using those gifts is because I know that God is pleased. I know that He's pleased.